Bob, can you shut that door? I hate to break up the good fellowship, but... All right. Yeah. We'll do that. Last one stops, sings a solo on Sunday or something. Okay, good to have you all back. At least it's just wet and not white, right? Chris and Patty, thank you for not bringing that back down here with you. The snow, yeah. I hear they like it in Rhinelander, but... We don't in New Berlin. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, so we're looking at lesson number 6, and see if we can wrap this up here tonight. Entitled Advancing Good Through Adversity. Seems like you guys are kind of getting OD'd on adversity here. We still got like 2 Sunday messages dealing with that, but then that'll be the end of that for a while. But, you know, we think about adversity again. Sometimes people have been sold a false bill of goods, thinking, okay, people have told them how the Lord's going to meet their needs, and you know, they get saved and somehow they get the idea that they aren't going to have any problems anymore. And that's not what the Bible tells us. In fact, we're seeing that we do learn. We may learn a whole lot more when we're going through some difficulties than we did when everything was going great. And was reminded of this verse. It's not in your notes there, but 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live," what? "Godly," yeah, "in Christ Jesus shall," not maybe, might, but "shall suffer persecution." So you live godly, get your armor on, because it's going to come. May not be today or tomorrow, but it's going to be out there. It's not something you're going to be able to outrun, okay, or get inoculated against, okay? Wouldn't that be something? You know, they got all these, all these shots out there that nobody wants, but if they had a vaccine that you could take that would cause you to be immune to problems, that'd be one that people would want to get, wouldn't it? But then after we read this, it's, no, there's some good in that. And we'll just touch on a little bit of that just a little bit of review. Okay, but yeah, the Bible does say that we're going to have some problems along the way. And yet the Lord is more than capable to give us the help, the resources that we need to overcome them. We don't have to be the victim. We don't have to be at the bottom of the pile all the time. And so we want to see here in Psalm 119 that God does produce good through adversity. We see the first one that we touched on was producing character in us. And as we looked at that, we see that there was a need for us to be teachable. We have to be willing to learn, willing to adapt, to change, and to learn from the trials and tests. What happens if we don't learn from them? Yeah, we get a rerun, okay? Kind of like get to do second grade all over again. I realize they don't do much of that nowadays. I just keep shoving them out the door. You know, here's your diploma. What's this? Yeah, so, but yeah, it does develop us, you know. And we see here, I'm just going to kind of skip along through here. Look at verse, we start in 65 to 88 here today, but you touch on 67. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." Okay? The affliction kept him from going astray the next time. Okay? Maybe thought about that and thought, maybe that wasn't such a good idea after all. Maybe I ought to consider doing what God wants me to do instead of going my own way, doing my own thing, and ended up in trouble, you know, and then I'm crying out to God for help, kind of like Jonah. How many times do you think Jonah had to be told after that? God said something to him? Yes, sir. I mean, he still mumbled and grumbled, you know, if we were to follow that about the stalk, beanstalk or whatever it was that shaded him for a while, and the heat came down and shriveled it up. He wasn't happy about that either, but he still did what he was supposed to do. He may still needed an attitude adjustment, though. Okay, so let's see here. We see that some of the good things that were touched upon, they're not all found in this Psalm 119. And he kind of veered off on a little side road there for a moment, talking about what it says there in Romans chapter 5, how that tribulation produces patience, patience produces experience, experience produces hope, okay? And you know, sometimes we want the hope, but, you know, we want to skip the first two things and just go right to it. But, you know, God says, no, there's a definite pattern here. And, you know, I'm going to be there for you. That's where this experience comes in. You know, you can read about how God, you can read books and you can read scripture and how God took care of different people along the way. And that's good. It's good to see how he's capable of doing that. But when he starts doing it in your own life, then it starts to really kind of sink in. You know, and you think back, okay, I was going through a tough time back in whatever, how many years ago or what, and the Lord was there for me. The Lord was there. He met my needs, encouraged my heart, got me back on track, whatever. And, I can be confident now, if it happens today or tomorrow, that he can do that again. He did it for me once. He can do it again. And maybe he's done it multiple times in our lives. And so that experience is something that's nobody can take away from you, you know. And it gives you hope because it gives you hope for the future that, you know, we get into tough times. And like I said, 2022 might be a bumpy ride. But we have hope that the Lord will take care of us. He's done it in the past. I mean, we can read about it. We see how God took care of the Israelites for 40 years out in the wilderness, and they weren't planting crops and, you know, bringing them in and all the rest of that stuff, but God took care of them, and he can take care of us too. Okay, so then we see here also that about promoting faithfulness in those around us. It talks about, you know, what's the purpose in life? You know, you hear different people giving a different, well, on that Friday night, Good Friday, we saw the film, and the young fellow from United States went to Israel. You know, I forget at what point, how old he was then, 19 or something, whatever. Anyway, he was trying to find himself. Okay. All right. Well, everybody needs to have some kind of an idea. You know, what's my purpose? What am I here for? You know, I realize some people just go from day to day and don't think too much further down the road than that. But, you know, here we've got the God of the universe. He created this world, this universe. He created us. He best knows how for what reason he created us for. I really do believe that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. He has his will for our lives. And it's maybe like a blueprint, you know? And if we're wise, we're going to want to know what that is so that we can do it. Otherwise, we may go through life trying to put that square peg in a round hole, and we just can't seem to find our niche. Well, maybe we're not doing what God wants us to do, all right? Okay, we touched on the fact that, you know, Joseph, he went through some difficult times. God hadn't forgot about Joseph. And if you kind of step back and look at it, I mean, there's a lot of different things, and for sake of time, we won't go through all of them because I think we're familiar with them. But from the time his brother sold him into slavery till he ends up being second to Pharaoh, there were some rough spots along the way. Got thrown in prison, left there for a couple of years, you know. The guy was going to put in a good word for him, forgot all about him, and he's there for a few more years. And but all that was, and it looked like there was, from human perspective, a lot of bad things happening to this guy. And yet, we see that now he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. And God went through those different steps to get him in the place where he could be promoted from the prison to the palace. Now, had he just decided, like the prodigal son, Dad, I'm leaving, you know, give me my inheritance, I'm going to Egypt, I'm going to go have a good time or whatever, or he got tired of his, got scared of his brothers and ran off to Egypt. Do you think he'd end up being second to Pharaoh then? No, I don't think so. So, you know, God, there was a reason for each one of these steps. And there was potential to get defeated and discouraged and so on along the way. But I think he's kind of like David when the guys are mutiny, about ready to kill him. He encouraged himself. He didn't have his own little private priest. He didn't get a daily bread in the mail. He or nothing else. You know, he just simply had to go on what he knew and trust the Lord for this, that, you know, keep on doing the right thing. He didn't use his bad circumstances to take it out on everybody else. And, you know, it talks about projecting light into a dark world. To me, he maintained a good testimony. He didn't use his circumstances to gripe and complain and become bitter because things weren't working out quite like he'd hoped. And everywhere he went, whether he's in Potiphar's house, he excelled and was promoted. He was in the prison, he excelled and was promoted. And ultimately he ends up, like I say, being second in command of all of Egypt, just under Pharaoh. And he didn't, I think he was doing what God, he sought to be obedient to the Lord through it all. And he did it by having a good testimony. Now, I don't say that having a good testimony, just living right, is going to get others saved. We still have to share the gospel with people. But they got to be able to look at our lives and say, they got something going on here. You know, I don't know what it is, but they got something that I'd like to have. And they see that we aren't maybe falling apart when bad news comes our way, or when things, again, don't work out the way that we quite planned. It isn't our world comes crashing in on us. They see that we're able to keep our head up and keep moving on. And we see here that, you know, God blessed him. I like the one thing he mentions here, though, is that Joseph, you know, could look back over his life, you know, 20/20 hindsight or whatever, look back over his life and see how the Lord had blessed him, how the Lord had used him. Like when his brothers finally showed up and he said, "You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. I'm here to preserve life." But then he shows also the other example, that of John the Baptist. John the Baptist sought to live for the Lord. You know, he wasn't trying to get rich quick and, you know, looking for fame and power and all the rest of that stuff. And what happens to him? Thrown in jail, loses his head. He, you know, now maybe there was, he could look back and know individuals that changed their life as a result of his ministry, but it, not everybody, you're not always going to be able to look back and see the good that was accomplished. Sometimes we're not going to find out till we get to heaven. And so, you know, I've mentioned this to Maureen, you know, and, you know, I believe that Lord put me here for a reason. It'd be nice to have all the seats filled, okay? Maybe it will be someday. But there are guys I went to school with, I don't know if he still is or not, but he was the president of Central Seminary. He's the president of hundreds and hundreds of students and teachers and everything else, and I'm here, you know? But I'm not trying to climb any ladder or make a name for myself or anything else. God, there's not enough seminaries out there for everybody to have one. Somebody's got to be out there doing the teaching and preaching and hopefully sending some students their way. You know, and you're sometimes, again, we're probably not our own best judge of what we're being able to accomplish in this life. You might have a whole lot more impact on people's lives with whom you worked for many years than you really recognize. And people aren't always forthcoming with that to come up to you and say, I just wanted to thank you. You've been such a blessing in my life that I've worked next to you for the last 20 years. People don't do much of that, you know. They may be thinking it, but often, most times they're not saying nothing. Let's move on here. And we see here that, again, he's trying to be a bright light where he's at. And we talked about that, the fact that our light shines the brightest when we're in a dark place. And again, sometimes people want to, boy, I sure wish I didn't have to work with all these unsaved people. We want to go to the mission field. Folks, we don't have to go to Africa or somewhere in Asia to find them. Maybe the Lord put us right in a mission field, all right? And God wants us to shine where we're at. As that one book talks about, bloom where you're planted. Make the best of the situation where you're at. And we see here that he had some enemies along the way, and they brought him down, okay? verse 81, he says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hoped in thy word, okay? Yeah, he was about ready to wad up the towel and throw in the towel. But it wasn't just that he was brought low physically, that he was just wore out physically, needed a little rest and relaxation, but he said his soul was about to faint. And the thing was, only God would be the one to be able to deliver him. You know, a B12 wasn't going to solve all his problems, okay? But he had those that were working against him. He's down. He's kind of in the dumps, if you will. And yet the desire there is to be faithful to the end, that we don't, you know, kind of use the circumstances of our life to excuse us from doing, you know, God's will, being obedient to him. And somebody said, even in the darkest night, unless there's a lot of cloud cover, you can still look up and see the stars. There's still some bright spots out there. And so God can use us to be that little star, that bright spot, in a very dark place. He says there in verse 82, he says, my eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? In other words, he's saying, when is this going to end? You know, you hear about the there's a light at the end of the tunnel, right? And then you hear, yes, but the light of the light at the end of the tunnel is the oncoming train. You're about to get run over. No, well, but here, you know, his heart's weary. He's worn out one way or another. He wants to recover from this. He doesn't want to just lay there and kind of wallow in it. He's looking for the Lord to comfort him. Now, he says there in verse 83, he says, for I have become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, this isn't a bottle of beer in a smoke-covered tavern, okay? he's saying, I want to be like a bottle. This would be like a wine skin. And in their buildings, they didn't have circulation all the time, you know, and with a power vent on the side to suck the smoke out from their stoves and so on. It got smoky in their house. And if you took an old wineskin that you may have had wine or water or whatever else in it, and you hang it up, what happens to leather after it's hanging there for a while? Kind of shrivels up, gets stiff. I haven't had a real chamois in a long time, but I used to have one a long time ago. You know, but that when that thing dried out, depending on what shape it was in, you could just about stand it up. It was stiff as a board, you know? I mean, it was leather. Well, this kind of got shriveled up, wrinkled up, you know, dried out. That's what leather does. It dries out. And he's feeling kind of dried up. And yet he doesn't want to use this as a means to, and excuse himself from being obedient to the Lord. His character, we see, has been slandered. He doesn't want to become useless. He doesn't want to end up on the ash heap, okay? He says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes, okay? He's still trying to remain faithful and true to the Lord. How many days are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Okay. Lord, how long are you going to let him get away with this? And that's really up to the Lord. He's not taking vengeance on himself, but I think he really wants the Lord to step in and deal with these people who've been persecuting him, kind of squeezing the life out of him. And we see here that, again, God is there for us. There are times when it may seem like he's a bit distant, but he's still nevertheless there. Look at 85. He says, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. There are people that are set traps for him, and they tend to try to do this with politicians and others, Well, they did it with Jesus. The Pharisees and the other ones were trying to trick him. Remember when they asked him, should we pay our taxes? And that's when he asked for the coin, render unto Caesar's those are Caesar's, unto God that's God's. Okay? But they were trying to set a trap for him. And the same thing when they brought this woman that was caught in adultery. What should we do to him? Well, they knew what the law said. What did the law say? Stone her. Okay, well, if they stoned her, he'd lose the respect of the people. If he said not to, then he'd say, well, you aren't going by the law, You're not following the directions. And so they're trying to put him in this catch-22. We don't know if that's kind of what these folks were trying to do, but they were trying to set a trap for him. And again, they're not obeying the law. They're doing whatever they feel just in doing. But again, he wants to stay true to the Lord through it all. He says, 86, all thy commandments are faithful. Okay? All your laws, your directions you've given us, they're faithful to me. I want to stay true to them. Even though these people are trying to trip me up and get me into some kind of trouble with them, or maybe to get me to sin, sometimes people, what do they call it? Entrapment, where they set somebody up, to try to entrap them into doing something, and then they run in and gotcha, But he says, thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Again, he's still crying out to the Lord. He's not crying out for a new or different, better lawyer than what he has. He knows that the fix that he's in, the problems he's in, the Lord's the only one that's going to be able to fix this. And that might be the way that it is in our lives. Sometimes we're running into issues with other people, maybe it's at work, maybe it's relatives, all kinds of different situations we find ourselves in. And there isn't, some right, nice, neat, black and white thing. Or even if it does, what you're trying to do, you can point to them that, the law says, there are a lot of people, I don't care what the law says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And He says, they had almost consumed me upon earth. Okay? They were moving in for the kill. They were squeezing the life out of me. But he says, I forsook not thy precepts. Okay? It didn't get him off track. And again, that takes some faith. That takes some courage to hang in there, to keep on doing it right. And maybe it's because he's doing it right, he's catching a lot of flack. I've heard of people through the years that, their boss comes to them and he wants them to do something that's really illegal or sinful, juggle the books, do this, that, to make things look right. And they're saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, then you're fired. Well, okay. God can take care of us even when it comes to a position like that. That we don't fold and say, well, okay, maybe just this one time. But do you think whoever wants you to do it wrong once is going to stop there? No, they're going to keep going. Well, you did it for me before. You're already into this thing up to your eyeballs. You better keep going. You're going to jail with me. I mean, I joke about that when when I do my taxes. I've been doing my own for long, long time. Well, this last year, I decided, I think I'm going to let somebody else help me out here, because there's stuff in here I'm not quite sure what to do with. And, somebody else's name's on the bottom line here, And they can blame it on their computer program. I just gave them the information. They plug it in and comes out, And but look at this last verse here. He says, quicken. What's the idea of beside a financial program, what is quicken? What does it mean? Chris?
Energize.
To make alive, all right? And he says, quicken me, infuse me, if you will, after thy loving kindness. Lord, give me a hug, okay? And he says, so I shall keep the testimony of thy mouth. He wants to continue serving the Lord, and yet he needs that inner strength, that strength from the Lord. And we're going to start studying soon here in our adult Sunday school class, the Joshua, and in those first few verses of there, he keeps telling him, be strong and have good courage. Be strong and have good courage. Why does he keep telling him that? Because he's not strong and he's lacking in courage, okay? And so the Lord can give us that strength that we have need of to keep on keeping on. I read this, as it said about quicken. It says, it enables us to bear affliction from those and from others that are after us, and God's loving kindness is the source of revival, or it's the one that enables us to live a holy life, to live a holy character, And even though everything else might be falling by the wayside around about us, the Lord can enable us to keep on standing true to Him. And that was the psalmist's desire. It talks, I don't know, at the top of my page here, it's saying, delight in the law. And our series is entitled, Delight in Thy Word. And that's that. God's Word was what he's hanging on to. I mean, he might be hanging on by his fingernails at this point, but it's God's Word that's sustaining him. And God wants us to get that in us, so that we are, it can't help, it needs to be something better than, I know it's in there somewhere, that we got a better grasp of it, of that, to be able to bring it back to mind. Let me just share one verse here in closing. This came to my mind as I was looking over this again here today. And it's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. You're familiar with this. But it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Okay? Now, it's, and I'm all for having right doctrine, believing the right thing, but it needs to be translated into action into our lives. It needs to be able to be observed by the things that we do, how we talk, how we relate to others, what we do for others. And again, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They see you doing something, and that has such an impression on them that they ultimately glorify God in heaven. And so may that be our desire as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's you're there for us. Your word's there for us. It can infuse our hearts and minds with courage and strength, a desire to keep on keeping on, to be true to you, even though we might be faced with some real desperate situations and circumstances, maybe persecution from others, maybe it's family or loved ones or people at work somehow that got putting pressure on us and that we don't fold up. Lord, help us to stay faithful and true to you. Help us to find your strength, just what we are in need of, and that we're faithful all the way till the end. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you.